You're listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
Ambiguous question.
What it was?
I'd like to know what the question was.
Well, the trick of it is there actually were all of the above.
Is it okay to tell bitches they be looking hot at the office?
You sure are filling out that sweater,
and
Susie.
It's like all of them are wrong because you agreed that bitches is okay to say.
It was something banal like that, and I'm like, there were no other questions that were all of the above. They were all like one selection.
So you just did the whole high school thing where wherever you see one of the all of the above, that must be the answer.
I should have done that. I didn't do that because I thought the test would be smarter than that and not waste my fucking time. As it turns out, I don't even work at that job anymore, and I can sexually harass to my little heart's content.
Is that a copy of Wired magazine?
It is a copy of Wired magazine, one of the best magazines ever.
Oh my gosh!
That
look at
Fast
you
with
your Wired
about?
Magazine and your new iPod.
I'm
iPad
such a
Air.
Fucking geek right now. He's
so excited. He came into the studio. He's like, "I need the Wi-Fi password." I'm like, "Haven't we given that to you like four times?" Yeah, but I got a new iPad.
My new iPad.
And it is. I mean, it's light as hell.
It's a pound, man.
It's very cool.
T-Mobile's giving you 200 megs for free. Although I have yet to be able to activate it.
We're doing commercials for T-Mobile now.
No, because they have fucked me so far. I haven't been able to activate it yet.
Oh, really?
Kind of ruined this whole thing. But I'm gonna give them a shot. Hopefully, it's gonna work out for me. How you been?
I'm gonna tell you, I've been very well. I've been very well. Been just recovering from the birthday stuff from last week.
Oh, happy belated.
You were in Boston. You shipped up to Boston last week.
I did. Did a little Jacko Pierce, and I went to Boston.
Yeah,
because you said please. And we're up there for a waiting, which is a combination of a wake and a wedding. We went for a waiting.
Just a woman got married to a corpse, and it's so fucked up, Joel. The things that you guys do, that's cool. I saw the picture of you at Harvard, and you were like, "I feel smarter."
Mm-hmm. And that wore off.
Lauren was like, "You're not."
Yeah. Thanks, brother.
It was so mean.
That's my family.
How is the weather?
A lot like it is right now here in Dallas. It's just bone chilling, man. Like I feel like I can never get warm. We just walked around.
He's wearing his jacket in the studio like it's a meat locker.
Yeah, and I'm so glad we got the headphones on because they're warming my ears. I need a hibachi under this table or something.
I wouldn't be surprised. This thing, all the gadgets and stuff underneath it.
It's a fire hazard.
So I honestly feel like sitting here watching you work on your iPad would be a far more interesting experience than what I went through earlier today watching this movie. We are the Editing Bay, by the way, on the Next Wave Radio Network. We are your editing baiters. My name's Joe.
And my name is Joel.
And this week, we took a look at a film based on an animated property. You used to watch it on MTV.
Yeah, Liquid
part
Television.
Part of Liquid Television, Aeon Flux.
That's right.
Which I always mispronounced the fuck out of it.
I was just going to say, I didn't even know if that's how it was pronounced until that's how they were calling the character in this movie. And I'm like, all right, we're going with Aeon.
Okay. How did you pronounce it when you used to watch it on MTV?
Aeon. I went Aeon.
Aeon?
It was always somewhere in between the A and the E. It was like Aeon.
But you always pronounce it Flux.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like pronounce it Flu. I'm like, Aeon Flu?
The silent
Aeon
X.
Flu?
Oh, that could have been like Grand Prix.
Yeah. What the hell is going on? And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you watched like Liquid Television from
very
beginning.
Yes.
Did you? So you understood the story as it was going on?
Well, no, because even when I saw that cartoon initially, like you're talking about the cartoon or the movie?
Yeah, the cartoon of it.
I never understood the story in the cartoon.
Had no idea what the fuck was going on.
All I knew it was that every episode, and each episode was like 4 or 5 minutes long. Uh-huh. It was a little mini cartoon.
Well, because Liquid Television was a bunch of different animated vignettes. It was almost like 2000 AD, the comic book in the UK, which you may or may not be familiar with. But it used to have a whole bunch of different serialized comics, one of them being Judge Dredd. And what you would get is like 4 pages of story every week of like just an ongoing story, almost like the old Batman serials you used to see back in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what Liquid Television was, where you used to see different animated things, but it seemed like Aeon Flux was the only thing that would kind of keep continuing throughout. But, like, it was always some weird shit or, you know, the chick was running around shooting shit or whatever, killing somebody, or she was just making out with some dude for, like, 5 minutes.
Gratuitously,
but you didn't know what the hell was going on.
And then she would always die at the end of every episode.
That's
true. She died some horrible death.
Yeah.
Or it was always implied, or you got to see it.
Uh-huh.
I was actually revisiting some of them after watching this movie because I needed to cleanse my palate and remind myself why I used to like Aeon Flux,
uh-huh,
or Aeon Fluch, as I guess we'll refer to it in this episode. And yeah, they're really intense. And the last episode that I saw, they didn't even wait until the end to kill her off. It was like, oh, the first 90 seconds, we just shoot her in the head.
And then we like, did they like Tarantino it back or something? Or was it
there
just...
was that episode. That one was cool. No, it went on to different characters. That episode was called War. And it started off, you know, they're in the middle of a war. She gets shot in the head. And then it follows the enemy. Because remember, it was always like her against... You know, not the rebellion, but
forces of enemies. She was version, always fighting against, like, the corporation
the
or
Empire,
something.
Yeah. And so they followed one of the characters from the Empire and as he was shooting a bunch of rebels. And then one of the rebels would take him out, and then they would swap back, and we would follow that rebel until... Uh-huh. It was really cool back and forth. But again, just visual, like, the visual style... if you haven't seen it, you know, check them out. They're on YouTube, or, you know, if you dig around a little bit. But
and you can find them on DVD, I think.
Yeah, yeah, they came out with a whole box set, I think, in 2005.
When the movie came out, I think they came out with the
capitalizing,
box set.
I'm not sure who was capitalizing on who, really, between the movie and the film. Because I don't know if this movie made a lot of money, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I don't know if it made a lot of money. I don't know if it deserved to make any money.
Probably deserved every penny it made. I'll Wikipedia it.
Okay, well, while you're doing that,
yeah.
So Aeon Flux, we've got a story starring Charlize Theron as the title character, the titular character.
Why?
And she's like a secret agent, called what are they called? Monikins?
The Monikins.
The Monikins. So it's like monks and Heineken. Or, like what? I don't know one where you get this fucking name from.
I just assume they were all fans of Monica from Friends.
Oh, the Monikins. You know what? I think that is probably the, and that's why they always wore black. Like Monica's hair. So she's a Monikin, and she's apparently a badass, you know, warrior, stealth fighter, whatever. And she's good at, like, infiltration and recon. And, like, the way that she gets her missions or whatever, she apparently takes a pill.
Yeah.
And it shoots a stimulus into her brain. And then, like, she talks to Frances McDormand. a not very chesty Frances McDormand, no. Who's wearing, like... a cleavage-bearing like dress. Like, she's a cleavage-revealing dress, but she's got no cleavage.
Almost kind of like an old Amish-style dress.
Yes,
and her hair is just, like, all over the place.
She looks like, what's her name? Tim Burton's,
yeah.
What's her name? God damn it, I can't remember her name.
You're talking about from,
She's in every one of his movies.
Yeah,
she
was
also in Fight Club. Why can't I remember her name right
Somebody
now?
Somebody yell it out, please.
Oh, my God.
The Wikipedia.
She looks like her, though. Oh, my God. This is a total example
Bonham Carter?
Helena Bonham Carter. It's a total example of me losing my fucking mind. If I can just stop for just a second.
Let's stop.
This, and we can talk about, I'm fucking losing my mind. And I don't know if it's because I'm not reading as much as I used to anymore.
You seem a little out of it.
And I don't mean like just recently. I'm talking like the past couple of years.
Oh.
My memory's shit. When I start trying to remember, like, an actress, like, I see the name. I'll tell you one example, Helen Mirren. Like, it used to be forever, whenever I would see Helen Mirren's face in my head, and I'd try to explain to somebody, oh, no, it's that actress who's, God damn it, I can't remember her name. And I'd want to say, like, you know, Rachel or something. And I wouldn't be able to remember it. And that's what's happening right now with that Helena Bonham Carter thing. Yeah. I find this happening to me a lot lately.
Welcome to my world. Well, you did just celebrate a birthday. What are you, 36?
36
now. It's okay. I'm right behind you, buddy.
Fucking bastard.
No, two more months, I'm going to be right where you are.
But no, but I'm being serious.
I'm being
very
serious.
Sincere about this right now.
This is what happens.
That it worries me that my fucking memory is gone to shit.
Your brain cells do not produce.
Is this something? Is it because I am spending so much time at work just watching fucking Netflix and I'm watching horrible fucking movies with you and talking about them? Or, like, what do I need to do to fix this?
You can play some games. You can play some chess.
Mind games?
Exercise. I feel like
playing Brain Age? Should I play Brain Age?
You should get yourself a DS.
I'm about to have two of them.
No, this is what happens with old age. Your brain just can't make those synapses aren't connecting the way they used to anymore.
That can't happen.
Oh, well, this is nature. This is what happens. Humans were never meant to live as long as we're living now. You know, we're getting up into the 70s, 80s, 90s. We were all supposed to die off in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, my God.
That's why women can't reproduce. We're way off topic here. But this is why women can't reproduce.
Actually, we're not, because we're about
35.
To be able to tie this back in.
Oh, I see where you're getting. Damn, you were building up this segue all along, you motherfucker. Yeah, yeah. So like after age 35, you know, people have trouble reproducing. But that's the way it's supposed to be. It's the fact that like our culture, now we're waiting longer to get married. We're waiting longer to have kids.
Yeah.
We just expect our bodies to keep up with it. It's the same thing with our brains.
And we're having a hard time with it and mm-hmm. everything starts to break down.
It probably has a little bit to do with the fact that I've smoked myself retarded just over the years. So I'm going to blame a lot of that on the marijuana. Hi, Mom, by the way.
Well, that's well, I've done my fair share of that as well. It was just something that really worried me. Like, just right there in that moment, it struck me, and I was like, God damn it, we need to talk about that.
We were like a couple of octogenarians in a nursing home.
It was like we were fucking lost.
Yeah.
Like, you see those signs on the side of the road, elderly person missing, you know?
That's going to be us.
That's us. We're going to not know where the fuck we are.
You know what's going to happen 20 years from now when we're old and senile? Well, let's give ourselves 40 years. We're just going to randomly start yelling out, Helen Mirren! Helen Bonham Carter! Like, it's going to come to us in a delayed 40-year reaction. Yet we won't be able to
hopefully
not poop in our pants.
We'll be long dead before
we'll
something like that happens.
Yeah.
So what has happened in this society in Aeon Flux is the people are unable to reproduce.
There's
this disease that keeps people from being able to reproduce, and you've got this doctor named Trevor Goodchild. Is it Goodchild?
Yeah, Trevor Goodchild.
Trevor Goodchild, who's supposedly created a cure.
Well, but back up. Why has he created this cure? Because there was a super virus that came along in what year?
It
was the year 2011.
What was it? 2011.
I like that in the little pretext at the beginning where they. Which, by the way, this is this. All right, there are two harbingers of bad things to come in this movie right off the bat.
Yeah.
The first is the MTV Films insignia.
And oh God!
Whenever you
There's
see
very
MTV
few.
Films.
Not
at the beginning
always.
Of a movie.
Not always.
Give me an exception.
Dead Man on Campus.
Oh, I never saw that. Is that good?
It's really funny, man.
Who's in that?
Helen Mirren. Mark Paul Gosselaar. Jason Segel's actually in it for a little bit.
No way.
Linda Cardellini's in it for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You've got Tom Everett Scott.
Okay.
And, God, who the hell else is in that movie?
I don't know.
I don't think there's a whole lot of other well-knowns, but it's fucking hilarious. It's basically about these guys. They, you know, they're roomies. One of them, Mark Paul Gosselaar, he's the stoner or whatever,
yeah.
And he just kind of gets by on his personality.
Was this post?
This
Saved
post Saved
by
the Bell.
Okay.
Tom Everett Scott plays this kid. He's kind of new to the college, and he's just starting to get to know everybody. He meets this girl on like freshman night, like the first night he meets this girl. Mm-hmm. They get along really well. Ends up having sex for the first time.
Yeah.
And he can't even focus on studying anymore. He's just all about this chick.
Mm.
And then like starts to party, starts to smoke. You know, he's not focusing on his studies before he knows that he's failing his class. And he can't fail or else he loses his scholarship. And so they find out that there's this bylaw in the school where if you have a roommate who kills themselves,
oh yes,
you get an automatic passing grade.
I remember the premise now.
And so they scout their campus trying to find the most suicidal people
wow.
to come move in with them.
You want to talk about a movie that you could not get greenlit
no,
today.
No, not at all.
It's a little too real.
It's so funny, though.
Yeah?
That was an MTV movie.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's the exception that proves the rule, is what I would say. Because for every one of those, there's, an Aeon Flux.
Or Joe's apartment.
Oh, that's actually on my list of movies that we need to do on this episode.
Is that
as
on
well.
Netflix?
No, I can't find it anywhere. It's been buried.
That sucks. Well, this is on Netflix.
Yes.
If you want to watch it, ladies and gentlemen.
For the time being.
But okay, so one of the harbingers was the MTV films.
Yes. The second one was the fact that they were having to tell the exposition, the backstory, through text on screen.
Which I feel showing that, actually filming that part of the story would have been far more interesting.
This isn't a fucking novel. This is a 90-minute movie. Yeah. It's in the name. It's called Movies, Moving Images.
Like, yes.
Show me what's going on. I'm sure it was a budgetary thing.
I mean, but you could probably say the same thing for Star Wars. You know, the opening crawl and
stuff.
That's
fine.
But the thing is, with Star Wars, there's already a lot going on story-wise.
Yeah, they cover a lot in that crawl.
You know, and you do kind of come in at the middle of the action. And to compare Aeon Flux to Star Wars, that's going really fucking far.
Maybe Phantom Menace. I'll give you that.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that opening text seemed like an interesting amount of stuff that like show us.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen
that.
I'm okay with narration. Fine.
Yeah.
You know, show a close up of Charlize Theron narrating this text.
How do you feel about narration and seeing the text while someone's reading it?
Again, I feel like I'm in kindergarten again. It's like, this is what...
That's how the Stallone Judge Dredd movie opens up.
Oh, no.
There's text, but it's like, I think James Earl Jones actually reads...
What?
the text as it's scrolling up the screen.
Soon to be on a future episode of Editing Bay, by the way.
Oh, sir.
Judge
and we probably have a violent disagreement about that one.
Oh, you like that movie?
It's one of my guilty pleasure movies.
Oh, wow. Guilty being the operative word there. Yeah.
Okay, so...
All right.
Yeah, the text is... It's a bad omen for this movie.
It's a bad omen, but what it says is, in the year 2011, which is always laughable... By the way, if you're ever going to make a movie set in the future... Don't go 10, 15 years ahead to where we're going to look back and laugh on it when it comes out on Blu-ray or hologram or whatever media we have in the future. Go 100 years in the future. Do what Elysium did. We're in the year 2125 or something. None of us are going to be alive to look back on this movie and laugh.
Right.
You know, like we did with Back to the Future. Where's my fucking hoverboard?
How about, have you ever seen the movie Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man, right?
Oh, yeah.
They like made that movie in 92. And it like took place, it was supposed to take place in like 97.
99, yeah.
Like it wasn't that far into the future. Like,
wow, you think we're really going to advance in the next 9 years?
Right?
I can't even get my dial-up internet to work correctly.
But it just seemed like...
flying cars?
It seemed like such a weird choice. And I think the only reason they made that choice was because Burbank was supposed to have evolved into an airport. Like the whole city was supposed to have been an airport at that time, which in... Even with that, it made no sense really to the context of the film, because the only time they go to that airport is after the bar gets shot up, they run across the street into an airport. Mm. Like it's almost like that whole story element is created just to make it make sense that they got from the bar to the airport in such a quick amount of time. Other than that, like you watch that movie and you're like, why wasn't this just set when it was made? Like it makes no sense. We are seriously talking about everything but Aeon Flux.
Well, there's not going to be a lot to talk about in this movie, so I'm glad we're finding some filler.
I'm gonna tell you, this movie is about as forgettable as the Prince of Persia movie.
I'm so glad you said that, because I haven't seen Prince of Persia yet. That'll be on a future episode as well. But I was driving over here, and I was forcing myself to recreate like the moment of me watching this movie last night, because I'm like, I don't know what to talk about with this movie. I barely remember. I remember something. Yeah, there's some... Actually... We're probably going to have a little disagreement later on, because I think this movie has some redeeming merits.
Oh, wow.
Some redeeming qualities.
Okay, well then let's really quick run through this. Not even run through the story, but just kind of give a quick summary.
Right. Well, so 2011, 99% of the world's population has been wiped out by a virus, right?
Uh-huh.
So now we're 400 years later. There was a scientist who discovered a cure, and he took the remaining, what, there were like 5 million
400
humans?
People. Only 400 people were left.
No, 5 million people. It was 400 years in the future. I think we're getting our numbers confused.
We might be getting our numbers confused.
I seem to remember like 5 million being the number that was left of the population.
Yeah, I'm gonna say you're right.
Okay, let's just go for that. But anyway, so a scientist cured it, and but we had to isolate ourselves. We've kind of built this walled city for ourselves, and it's the remaining humans. We all live in this one big city 400 years in the future. So now that we've seen text on screen for the first 90 seconds of the fucking movie, now we actually get to film. And it opens up the way that every episode of the animated cartoon of Aeon Flux open, with a close-up of her face. Now, if you've ever seen the Aeon Flux cartoon, it was always, and this is one of the things that grabbed me immediately as a kid. Because
it was disturbing.
It was disturbing. It's this close-up of this eye, this pupil-less eye that's open. And a fly lands on a cheek. It's super close up. The fly kind of walks around, makes its way onto the eyeball. And by now, as a 12-year-old boy, I'm like, ugh, what is this? And then, like a Venus flytrap, the eye shuts and catches the fly, and then opens up a little bit. And then the pupil like comes around the eyeball and looks at it, and you see the iris adjusting to it. And I'm like, I don't know what this last 10 seconds I just saw is, but this was awesome. Very similar moment in my life. And then, of course, you know, the cartoon's just like trippy shit afterwards.
Yes, yeah.
So not as successful recreating that in live action.
Yeah.
Which the first 5 minutes of this movie, they basically recreate those moments. There's another moment where...
They're desperately trying to recreate
grasping.
Everything.
They're like, hey, remember that cartoon that you liked on Liquid Television? This is the same thing. It's just live action. And I'm like, no, it's fucking not. Instead, what we get is Charlize Theron laying on a bed, and a fly just kamikazes into her eye. Now, how would that ever happen? That would never happen.
Well, she's laying in a bed, and she's watching the fly.
Yeah.
She's watching the fly fly around, and then, like, the fly comes at her, and she catches it with her eyelashes before it actually gets to her eye.
But she doesn't, like, lift her head up. The fly literally flies into her eye.
It does. No, it pulls a dive bomb right into her face.
So right away, it's not capturing the same sense of kind of awe and badassery that that cartoon did.
Yeah.
And then the following scene, I remember that from the cartoon where, like, you know, two people are making out, but it actually they're...
He's giving her the
he's
pill.
He's giving her a pill, and it's got some secret inside of it, but we don't find that out until later.
It doesn't have a secret. We find out exactly what's going on.
Oh, no, in the movie, but in the cartoon, it was actually like some instructions. It was like a little scroll and a pill that she...
this was the 1-800 collect to Frances McDormand. That's all that this is.
Yeah.
And it really
crazy
was
hair.
Like a waste of an Oscar award-winning actress.
Wow, yeah.
In this film. She's given these instructions, and you find out, like, you know, she's kind of this badass for this organization, the Monikans. And so she's carrying out her orders or whatever. And then you find out she's got a sister and a family. And,
yeah.
And so her sister's like, you need to stop doing this and blah, 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 blah. We want to live a good life, I want you to meet my fiance. So she's like, well, I've got a job I got to do, but don't worry. I'll come on back. I'll have dinner with you guys tonight. And so she goes and she takes care of whatever the fuck it is that she's supposed to take care of. And while she's out, her sister ends up getting killed.
Yeah.
And she comes home and she sees the boyfriend. She's like, he's going, she's not a Monikan. You killed her. You wrongly murdered, blah. And so Aeon Flux goes basically on this roller coaster ride to get revenge. And, you know, the Monikans are like, now's your chance to get revenge. We've got orders to kill Trevor Goodchild.
Yeah.
And we're sending you in. So she goes in with her friend with the hand feet.
Let's talk about her for a little bit.
Can we please?
Do you remember what was her name? Symphonia.
Synthara.
Another forgettable character and name.
What was the point of the hand feet?
I have no idea.
Where was the Chekhov's gun moment of the hand feet?
It never came into play. Maybe it's on the cutting room floor. But yeah, so the first time we're introduced to this character, she's just had this operation done because she makes mention of it. She's like, you should
those
get
implants.
It done too.
Yeah.
Those implants. She basically has arms and feet on her legs.
Yeah.
Which
it's just feet. She has feet on her legs.
Is kind of a cool idea, I guess.
No.
Except that they never did anything with it.
They never do anything with it. Like, she climbs around and she's trying to sneak up on Aeon Flux.
Yeah.
And then Aeon's like, I know you're there, Synthara, or whatever the fuck her name is. And for the purpose of the podcast, she's going to be named Synthara.
Let's do it.
And so she's like, oh, I could never sneak up on you. Then they go on their fucking mission. They go and do their thing.
I have hands for feet now. Yeah, and so we get a nice little like non-effect shot where it's like her picking up a gun and stuff with her supposed feet, but really they're just close-up cutaways.
She grabs a tree limb with her hand feet.
At one point, yeah, she's saved, and then immediately in the first action sequence, this proves to be a bad idea because she basically lands on these thorny grass.
Yeah, the grass that sticks up like nails.
Yeah, that now her feet.
So we've talked about hand feet for a little bit. Let's just talk about that whole sequence.
Yeah.
You can almost tell that, like, this sequence was written before the rest of the script was.
Yeah, I think
and
this
it was
whole...
just kind of fucking shoehorned in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Aeon Flux, we've watched the animated show, and she runs around and shoots shit a lot. So what kind of situation can we put her in where she's running around and shooting shit or just running and being sneaky, and we could show off, you know, how action-y this movie's going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they came up with, is two chicks running through a garden, a deadly garden.
Basically. And trees are shooting at them. I guess a little acorn.
Coconuts.
Tree.
Like coconuts that shot darts.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, I need to learn how to like do cartwheels because apparently, and this isn't just this movie. This is a lot of movies
Daredevil,
that are guilty of this.
Spider-Man.
Yep. The number one way, 100% way not to get shot if somebody's got an AK-47 or some sort of semi-automatic rifle
is to
just do a cartwheel, do a couple of flips, some hand flips. How does that make you... impenetrable to bullets.
Well, you just have to know gymnastics. And
I guess
you're like,
so.
You're like fucking Teflon.
All right, I'm gonna
nothing sticks.
I'm gonna look up Nastya Lukin.
You
in
just
my hometown.
Well, you know what? Maybe we could get like we could hire her to just come and hang out with us one day and just shoot at her, and like she could just keep doing like cartwheels, and we shoot at her, and we could try.
We're
to prove
gonna be
this.
Sorely disappointed when we murder Nastya Lukin
and Olympic
have to explain
superstar.
To her.
National treasure, Nastya Lukin, gets shot by a couple of fucking podcasting assholes.
Although, Nastya, if you're listening, I'm not single,
she's
but
not
I could
listening.
Be single
she's not
for you
listening.
Right now. She might not be. Don't ruin this for me.
Isn't she like 15?
No, not anymore. She's a healthy 20-something-year-old.
Oh, okay. All right, well then, cool. Yeah.
She lives in Plano. You know that? She's a mere stone's throw away from me.
You know what? We have just as many people listening to us from Plano as we have listening to us in Alaska.
You could stop right there. Just as many people. No, you're right.
All right.
I walked past her in an Apple store, by the way.
Yeah?
The end. No, it's a couple
years ago. When you got your iPad.
When I got my new iPad.
So Garden. Yeah, Garden of Death. Were you like as completely fucking bored with this sequence as I was?
It was very not like you never felt like they were in danger.
No,
I didn't care about hand feet.
Never felt like Aeon Flux was in danger.
No,
at no point in this movie do I ever get the feeling that Charlize Theron is in any danger. There are no stakes for her at all.
Yeah,
because she like even within the course of this sequence, there's the part where they jump up and the grass turns into like.
Yeah.
It turns into nails.
She almost lands on it.
And the chick lands on it. But then, like, Charlize Theron just kind of flies. She, like, she just kind of decides she doesn't want to land.
Yeah.
And just kind of angles her body and just keeps going forward.
Yep. And catches herself on the brick surrounding. Brick.
Yeah.
And she does the very first twerk. She's basically in that same position. Yeah, she's got her ass
up
in the
air. The picture that we have on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
I had no idea what the fuck she was doing. We probably, before we go any further, we should explain that neither one of us has seen this movie before.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, you picked it, too. Yeah. Were you just looking for movies that had 2 stars or less?
No, you had just given me a list, and you were like, but none of it's on Netflix. I want to try to pick something that's on Netflix that more people can kind of watch before we talk about it.
I agree.
So I pulled up Netflix and just started going through bad movies. And I was like, okay, what looks interesting? What have I not seen? What maybe could we watch? And, you know, who knows? Maybe it's got some redeeming value to it. And that was one of the ones I listed off. And then ultimately you picked it.
Yeah. Well, because I always wanted to see it because, like I said, I love that cartoon. I love Liquid Television. But even when did that come out? 2000. When did this movie come out?
Hell if I know. 2005. 2005,
I think. Yeah. I remember seeing it and immediately recognizing it for the piece of shit that it was going to be. First of all, very disappointed in the casting. What had Charlize Theron done at this point? This is post.
Well, she obviously did 2 Days in the Valley.
Okay. That was a long time before then.
And
what was she famous
did, she
for,
did
though?
Devil's Advocate by
Oh,
this
Devil's
Advocate. Right?
I guess that was probably her big role when people knew her as the hot chick from there. Thoughts on Charlize Theron?
I don't like her. I've never really liked her very much. She's always kind of felt like she's like 3 Happy Meals away from being a woman that you see at Walmart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's very. Yeah. I know when people talk, she always makes like, you know, the top 10 hottest chicks and the most beautiful women. I'm like, she's kind of generic looking for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And if her acting was so stellar that it had to grab my attention, but I really haven't seen anything that she's been in that I've been blown away.
Apparently, she's really good in that movie Monster.
Yeah, where she does the transgender role, right?
Is that what it is? Transgender? I think she's just a fat hooker.
Oh, you know what? I'm confusing it with Trans America, the one that
Felicity Huffman
did, which that was Oscar worthy, actually. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, she's just an ugly chick, basically.
Yeah,
right?
that's it. She's with Wednesday Adams.
Is she in that too?
Yeah. That's another one.
I can't think of her name.
I'm forgetting.
That'll come. Christina Ricci.
Yeah, there you go.
I've
never really been too impressed with her.
Yeah,
and. And so throwing her in the title role of this, it screamed of, obviously, the Tomb Raider movies came out by this point.
Yeah.
And so it kind of screamed of the answer to the Tomb Raider movies. Like, we're making a lot of movies about chicks who kick ass.
Yeah.
And, you know, what else can we make? Oh, Aeon Flux. Let's jump on this bandwagon and kind of throw this movie together. But it feels like because there was no real clear story to the animated Aeon Flux.
Yeah.
You kind of paint yourself in a corner trying to produce something like this and make a whole story out of it.
Yeah.
It's hard enough, like when you see stuff like Avatar, like The Last Airbender, and how people are really upset about the way Shyamalan adapted that into a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, at least that comes from a cohesive animated property, whereas this is so out of left field and it's so abstract that it's almost impossible to effectively make a live action film, at least a traditional, like, 90-minute action movie about Aeon Flux.
Yeah. How do you, it was a series of shorts where the heroine dies at the end of every episode.
And the
how
only
do you
way that they brought
adapt that,
the only way they brought that into play is the fact that like they're all clones that live over and over again.
And I did appreciate that, and that's what we're going to get into with I like this story. I don't like the writing. Oh my god. The writing is
so pedestrian.
Well,
before we get to that, there are more people in this cast.
Oh yeah, no, we'll get to
you
that.
You know, you've got Charlize Theron. Mm-hmm. You've got Johnny Lee Miller, who I think is a really good actor.
Now, who is that?
He was Sick Boy in Trainspotting.
He was Oswald
or Orton or whatever the hell.
Orin.
Yeah.
Orin, it was Lovechild.
The brother. Lovechild. Good,
good child. Whatever.
The guy. Lovechild is a completely different
Never
fucking movie.
Meant to be.
So he plays like the brother that kind of wants control. He sets up the other brother. You find out that the professor that put all this together and is living this life of like, you know, this high society kind of life, very charmed kind of upper class society. You find out that this dude is really a good guy. He's trying to solve the problem here. He's still trying to solve what's going on. He's not happy with the status quo. You know that there's something up, and you really don't find out the whole story about the clone thing until the end.
Right.
Spoiler alert. So you've got that dude whose name escapes me. Surprise, surprise.
He was
Galadriel's husband in the Lord of the Rings movies.
You know what? I saw him credited there and I was trying to figure out who the fuck he was.
Every time I see that guy's face, all I can hear in my head is, "Tell me where is Gandalf, for I much desire to speak with him."
Have you seen that YouTube
yes,
remix?
Yes.
Everybody look that up if you haven't seen that.
They're taking the
YouTube.
Hobbits to Isengard.
To Isengard.
Tell me where is Gandalf, for I much desire to speak.
The Hobbits. You got to see that.
I really don't know what the fuck they were doing in that podcast tonight. They talked about everything but this stupid fucking movie.
Took some peyote before we started recording here.
I think that's it. It's Francis McDormand.
Yeah, yeah.
Who
those are the only names.
Up.
And again, I thought what you were going to say a second ago when you were talking about Charlize Theron, this to me reeks of these actors were all on retainer for whatever studio.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, because Charlize Theron, I think she's horribly miscast. She looks nothing like the Aeon Flux cartoon.
No.
The Aeon Flux, you see the cartoon, she's like
rail thin.
Spindly, gangly, like super thin, doing these acrobatics. They should have got, you know who they should have
gotten? Julie Strain.
Who's that?
Julie Strain, she's a B-movie actress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's done a lot of like softcore porn.
Okay.
But
you
she
think
looks
I would know
like
her.
Aeon Flux.
Does she?
Like I would almost go so far as to say that Aeon Flux was probably modeled after her.
I have to disagree because I think clearly the correct casting choice would have been, and sadly they couldn't, but it would have been Mila Jovovich?
Mila? Some people say Mila, some people say Mila.
But the chick from the Fifth Element.
You mean she dude, she's already done.
This is what I'm
Aeon
saying.
Flux. Didn't she do a movie called Ultraviolet?
She was in Ultraviolet. She
that
did
looked
the
just like this.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. That's probably why they couldn't cast her cuz she already made these movies. You combine her outfit and her weird hairstyle from Fifth Element and then everything else from that character from Ultraviolet, and sprinkled in a little bit of the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah, some Alice.
But she looks the part. She's a brunette, and you know she would have been. She
could have
done.
I don't disagree with you.
Right.
That would have been a good.
I'm so correct.
I mean, we usually get to this point later in the podcast.
Oh no, I've got some other choices later. I just had to point out how badly the cat. When it was announced that she was going to be Aeon Flux, I'm like, who would make this choice? And it just reeks of, well, who do we have on our roster that we've already paid? Well, let's get her to do.
We
gave her $20 million for Devil's Advocate.
About this movie? What struck you about this movie? Like, where do you think they were going with this? At what point, you know what, let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. At what point do you think that they thought they knew where they were going with it?
I don't know that they ever did. You know what I think this was? I think this was a merging of different elements, because you know, I said earlier, one of the things I think I like about the movie is the story. But it's a story that we get at the end. Can we spoil it now? I mean,
we pretty much already did. Go ahead.
So it's been 400 years since, you know, the entire population except for 5 million or whatever has been wiped out. And you think that we've just kind of been procreating this entire time, but it turns out...
I'm going to stop you for just one second.
Uh-oh.
So they say 400 years. It's been 400 years.
Uh-huh.
And...
Seven generations.
We've been born seven times since then.
Yeah.
Does that math pan out for
I don't know, because that... Let's see. So the average age would be...
the average age is 30. What? Like about 76, 78?
Yeah. Kids usually have... or people usually have kids a little younger. They don't wait until they're in their 60s
to have
clone
children.
Themselves and have kids. But it turns out we've been rendered sterile by whatever the cure that cured us from that horrible, bubonic plague-like disease also rendered us sterile.
Uh-huh.
So we've been cloning ourselves for these 400 years. What's the math on that?
It had been 312 years.
Okay, yeah, so we're a little shy there.
If we waited in like 78 years and then got born on that 78th year, it still would have been 312.
Yeah, who's raising these people?
Kids? Well, they are. They're raising their
They're raising themselves.
They talked about that.
And you know what? That's the thing that bugs me. Okay, so yeah, so basically we find out that we've just been cloning ourselves, and that's how the population, and that's also why. I was going to call her Mila Jovovich.
It's okay. They're all
my
the
wishful thinking.
Point.
Charlize Theron is having these flashbacks, and she thinks she knows Trevor Lovechild, and it turns out they didn't know each other in a previous life. They were lovers. I'm on the Lovechild train now. Because we've been cloned, and I guess you retain some of your memories when you've been cloned. That's
because
science,
the DNA.
Yeah.
Because Pete Postlethwaite living in the hot air balloon above the city.
Wearing like a Kleenex tissue box around his head.
To me, it looked like he was wearing the fucking life, like the huge condom that they wore in the Naked Gun movie.
Yes.
I had no idea what the fuck was going on at that point.
Being eaten by like a life-size carp.
He's apparently the only person that didn't reincarnate, like that they didn't clone. He just lived 400 years.
He's been alive for 400 years. Well, I guess in the future they can keep you alive forever, apparently, in a floating squid above the city. there's some good style. I like the design of that. I like the design of some of the costumes. But really, the redeeming quality for me was the story. And I think what happened is, I think there's some brilliant sci-fi writer who had this cool concept, this story about, what if we're all wiped out except for, 1% of the population or whatever it is.
And someone claims that they cured us, but instead they're actually just taking our DNA and we're being reborn over and over again. We're basically being recycled.
And each generation has to raise. Like, can you imagine if you had to clone yourself and then raise yourself and teach yourself everything
that
you've known in your lifetime?
But that wasn't what everyone was doing. That was just what they were doing, what the upper class were
Trevor
doing.
Trevor and Orin, Lovechild.
And their whole council.
Their clan, yeah.
Like, those people were raising themselves, but everybody else was getting reassigned to new families.
Yeah.
Every generation.
Yeah, and that's what happens to her sister. We find out Anne Flux's sister, who was killed in the beginning, she thinks she's tracked her down, and it turns out she's a baby who's been adopted or given to another.
She's been artificially inseminated into the woman.
Yeah, exactly. Woman. And born again. That happened quickly, by the way. Didn't she
it
just die the other
really
day?
Really quick.
And now she's
I'm assuming they already had her DNA.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they had already injected it, and they ended up having to kill her because, one, she was pregnant.
Yes, that's right. We find that out later. We're starting life. Life finds
found
a way.
Life. It will find a way.
They actually said that line in this movie, didn't they? Too.
They really should have just hired Jeff Goldblum to show up at one point and just be like, "Guys, remember me?
Chaos
dinosaurs." But they straight up ripped dialogue from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, they did.
I think she got killed because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And other people were becoming pregnant, and that's why Johnny Lee Miller was like, "No. We can't have it. They're fucking up our society.
Right.
We have to kill off everybody who's getting pregnant because then that proves that we're getting better." Cuz that was the whole thing, like the doctor Trevor had tried to save his research cuz he's like, "Fuck, we were so close to a cure." Well, it turned out we kind of cured ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what Johnny Lee Miller was trying to stop at this point.
Yeah. Kind of a weak motivation for a villain. Unfortunately, I didn't really see the logic in the.
It's kind of par for the course with this film.
Yeah, very much so.
Seriously though, the amount of unmotivated actions in this movie is staggering.
Yeah,
just the shit that they end up having to do. The fact that Aeon Flux, one of the first things that we see her do action wise, is sneak into some top secret lab. It's the middle of the night and she's wearing fucking white. It's every time she's trying to be stealthy, she's wearing the exact opposite fucking color that she should be wearing.
That's a good point. She's wearing black and an all white.
Yeah, and then
scenario.
In the middle of the day she's wearing fucking black and at night she's wearing all white. It makes no fucking sense. And it's like the bad guys in this movie, it was like they filmed it in some like some studio backlot had like a whole surplus of all these like masks and helmets.
Absolutely.
And like in body suits, and they just kind of dressed up the same like 10 people.
Yeah, it was like the leftover Judge Dredd costumes, basically.
Yes. And then they were like, all right, what we did, guys, we rented out this fucking botanical garden, and so we're going to just have Charlize run around and we're going to
do some cartwheels.
Yeah. It's so we've got that action sequence. We've got the action sequence where they're running across the garden. Like, these are the worst assassins in the world.
Yeah.
Because they spent, well, not only are they the worst assassins in the world, because they're sprinting across like open land.
Yeah, in broad daylight.
But also, you've got a garden that shoots like coconuts that shoot fucking darts, but you can't set up a fucking alarm? A motion sensor or some shit? Like, hey, motherfucker, we got some people running across the goddamn garden right now. We might want to look into this shit. No, you've got these two. You got Hand Feet and Aeon Flux running across this, and nobody catches them.
No, nobody's manning the station. Yeah. Uh-uh. No, I guess they figure the coconut trees will take care of them and the scissor grass.
I mean, and you know what? Damn, just having guards in the central facility. Why are no guards like patrolling the perimeter around the city before you even get to the dangerous garden?
Yeah, there's just a speaker going off that says, warning, you know, end of...
shouldn't that speaker be like announcing that to somebody in like a central room that has like cameras up and going, oh, hey, you know, Sector 8, there's an alarm going off saying that someone's near the... oh, look at that. There's two chicks. That bitch has hands on her feet. Like, what? Where is that? Where's that scene? Where, you know, and you could still have shit like that and kind of add a little bit of the realism to this utopian future society.
No, I agree.
And still create a decent little action sequence, too. But nothing made sense. No motivations, and there were no consequences until the scriptwriter and director decided, let's have some consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And that came at the very fucking end.
In
another goddamn botanical garden.
It's the same one.
It is.
And the flying squid.
And there's a bunch of people up on towers with sniper rifles and shit. And just waves and waves of nameless, faceless bad guys.
That's the other thing I was going to mention. And I guess it's okay because they're clones. But, you know, if we only have like 1% of the population, I feel like 0.01 gets killed in this movie. Just in that third act. Just like a constant wave of people being shot at and taken down. It's like... This is all of humanity. Uh-huh. Hold on. Let's stop the shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life is not precious.
Yeah. Well, I guess not. We can just clone people.
You got a farm of people.
That's right. Like the Matrix. So going back to the story. So I like that premise. I like the idea of we've had to clone ourselves.
Premise.
It's exactly. So somebody wrote that story and probably, you know, pitched that story to some studio, MTV Films. And tried to get it made, but you're not going to get that movie made because there's no stars attached and nobody knows the name and blah, blah, blah. It's a good story, but whatever. So I kind of feel like they shoehorned in this story into this Aeon Flux movie. I feel like there's some executive who was like, we have this property that we've optioned. We need to make a movie of it. We have like 8 years to make a movie of it or we lose the option.
Right.
This guy's written this sci-fi story that's actually not half bad. Can we combine the two and just sprinkle in some lame action sequences and get, who do we have on retainer? I get Charlize Theron and... Frances McDormand.
Uh-huh.
We'll get Fargo to be in our movie.
The weird thing about Aeon Flux, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. is a lot of the action sequences in the animated show were very claustrophobic. Like, there was a lot of claustrophobic, a lot of tight spaces, you know, very inside futuristic kind of complex stuff. And there was, like, everything was so open. And it just didn't have the same feeling.
The style, the style of the cartoon, which is what made me fall in love with it initially, the guy who directed it, and animated it. He went on to do the Animatrix, some of those sequences. And
if
you watch the Animatrix, of course, there's different art styles in some of them. One of them is computer generated, right?
Uh-huh.
But you can totally see his inspiration for the Animatrix from Aeon Flux. And so if you like the Animatrix, you like the old Aeon Flux cartoons, it was because of the style. It was because of the way they animated. And it was almost like that old heavy metal movie, you know, the cartoon
one.
We weren't quite seeing violence in cartoons was something that really only Japanimation was doing, anime was doing.
Uh-huh.
We hadn't really adopted that in America. And so I kind of felt like that was one of the first forays. But that style is what drew you in, and there's none of that in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why bother making a movie that you're not even going to, you're going to get a 20-plus pound, you know, Charlize Theron to play a spindly girl, and you're totally going to take the style and the setting away from it. And They didn't retain any of, aside from the characters, they didn't retain any of what you liked about the cartoon.
No. It
you're having difficulty.
I feel like my head is exploding. I think you hit it on the head though when you talked about that they just kind of threw the property on there just because they could. And I was trying to, while you were
it's
talking, I was trying to look up.
I'll vamp some more.
The Aeon Flux and like what the actual story was for the animated feature. We don't have to vamp anymore about it. If people want to know, they can look it up for themselves.
I don't know that there was much of a story. And I think even admittedly the creator would say that, you know, it was loosely tied
we were
together
just
in this world.
Smoking dope and animating. Like it was all just kind of flowing, man.
It's very odd and nothing ever really makes sense. Yeah. And she dies at the end.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Of every episode.
Yeah. And usually of her own doing, which is what I loved about her too, because there's one episode where she was on a mission and she just slips and falls from a great height. And that's it. Like there's very anticlimactic. She just fell to her death.
All right.
The end. Let's talk about Pete Boston points some more.
Is there anything about this story that you want to talk about before? Because I'm gonna go into like the usual questions and stuff.
We'll do that in a second. The last thing I want to talk about, I was researching because it was painfully obvious to me that Charlize Theron was not doing her own stunts.
No.
It was so, like, every time something acrobatic would happen, they'd cut to a super wide shot.
Yes.
Where it's obviously a body double from far away.
Uh-huh.
Or you'd get a super close-up of, like, hands on bars mm-hmm. or feet kicking or something. Mm-hmm. And the one time you did see Charlize do anything, it was pretty lame. Like, it looked like there wasn't a lot of power behind it.
It was in front of a green screen.
In front of a green screen.
The green screen effects on this were, like, I'm going to tell you, they were kind of hit or miss.
Yeah,
and it felt like they almost had like two crews doing the green screen stuff because it was like, all right, this green screen effect kind of looked decent.
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly it was like, what? I could do better than this on my iPhone.
And that's how it works generally. They'll farm out like, you know, we have 200 effect shots in this movie. Mm-hmm. Well, the ones that are really like our money shots, our A shots, are going to go to ILM. We're going to pay them a shit ton of money to make sure these 12 effects look really good. The other ones are going to go to my neighbor down the street who bought a Mac, and he's just going to, you know, shoot in front of a green screen and do this. So that would explain the disparity of the effects.
Ah, that's good to know.
Yeah. anything else I can answer for you about filmmaking?
Joe? You know, I guess just what strikes me about this movie is the fact that it just seems so unremarkable.
Yeah.
And it kind of hits that little sweet spot of like, I didn't think it was horrible.
No.
It wasn't horrible. It just wasn't good, though. It was just so horribly average of a movie and so forgettable that it was very disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Not in that way of like the JFK vampire killer or whatever the fuck that movie was. Or,
JFK.
What was it called?
Are you talking about Abraham Lincoln, Vampire
Hunter? No, not Abraham Lincoln. The other one that we talked about on here. American Badass.
FDR, American Badass.
It wasn't like that where I watched it and I was like kind of giggling to myself. I was like, this is so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that this is so stupid. But I still like, oh my God. You know, you got to give it that shake of the head.
No.
It wasn't forgettable. It was just bad.
Yeah.
Whereas this is, it's just so forgettable. It's so lame. It's such a lame attempt at a movie. And you kind of sit there and this is the kind of movie that makes me kind of angry.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, where's that passion? You know, you make film because you have a passion for it. You have a story you want to tell. And this is so the textbook definition of the paycheck movie where, you know, it's just that that machine that we're just kind of churning out. We just want to, we're just, you know, it's pre-processed film. And let's just get it out there. Let's just assign a crew to it. Get it shot. You've got 3 months to get this thing filmed. And then we're going to take like a month, 2 months for post-production, and then we need to get it out.
Yep. We're going to go on tour, and she's booked on Letterman. She's got a...
Exactly.
Yeah, promote.
But there's no heart in this movie at all.
You absolutely nailed it. It's a missed opportunity on both fronts. One, the Aeon Flux property deserved a much better film, mm-hmm. and maybe someday we'll get a remake. Maybe Christopher Nolan will pick up the property.
Was Aeon Flux a big enough thing to really actually merit a live-action film?
Not necessarily, but it was the potential in it. And again, when I heard they were making a movie, I'm like, oh, shit, I'll be there on opening day because I want to see what they do with it because I kind of like the character and I like that world that they are in. And the mechanics, there was a very unique style of what the future looked like. kind of dystopian Blade Runner-like future.
Uh-huh.
And then the other missed opportunity is, again, with the story. I feel like I would have liked to have seen a fleshed-out script that, what we talked about, how the clones had to, like, raise themselves.
Yeah.
There's a whole movie right there.
That's a whole story.
There's one throwaway scene with the love childs and their younger clones, and they're kind of, like, talking to them about the future. But it's done over narration. It's like, where are those kids? Where are they right now?
How much of a
we
cooler,
never see them.
How much of a cooler reveal would that have been had she like shown up, and then there's like two sets of certain people.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, "What the fuck is going on here? You know, why are there? What is this? Okay, calm down. I want to like maybe she comes, she kills one person, and then walks in the door, and then there they
and
are
then there's
again.
There's the other one. Yeah.
How the fuck did that? Yeah. Like you had the potential to make a really cool sci-fi mystery kind of story.
Yeah, that could have been
and,
cool.
And really play with tension and play with you know, kind of feeding the audience little elements at a time so that they could piece together what was going on along with Aeon Flux. There was no knowledge gained in this movie.
Exactly.
Everything was just spoon-fed, and it wasn't just spoon-fed to the character. It's spoon-fed to the audience.
Oh, man.
And it ultimately makes for such an uninteresting experience.
Yeah. The writing was just so... You know what it felt like? It felt like an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. And I mean that both as a compliment and as an insult.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, it was obviously made for TV. A lot of the best episodes of TNG, that's what I'm going to call it, Next Generation,
that's
TNG.
That's good. That's good. It's acceptable.
Were great concepts, but the dialogue, you know, was probably written by somebody who dialogue is, you know, it's not Aaron Sorkin punching out your dialogue on Star Trek. It's the most banal, just kind of basic, here's some exposition that we're going to feed to you because you have to know this in order to understand the story.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember where I was going with this.
And it felt like a Star Trek The Next Generation
episode.
The writing was subpar.
Yeah.
You know, you had a pretty high concept. You had a cool mm-hmm. little concept. But then the execution of it from a screenwriting standpoint completely failed. And it let down the person who penned probably the original story that ended up getting adapted. And also everybody who paid, you know, $6.50 to go to the theater back then to see the movie.
Yeah.
It's it really is. I would avoid it. I really wouldn't recommend this.
No, I can't.
And Joel gave it a little bit too much credit when he talked about Blade Runner dystopian because there's no way.
I'm talking about the cartoon, though.
I got you on that. That's absolutely true. They took this property that, at least from what you see in the cartoon, that has like this living, breathing world, you know, and they just kind of confined it to this really artificial studio space that, you know, they CG'd some kind of city skyline in the background.
Yeah.
You never flesh out this area where these people live.
No.
And then you've got a botanical garden where almost everything takes place. There's the botanical garden and like the sewers. You know what? There is one thing that I want to talk about story-wise that I'm just now remembering.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem, guys. You're going to listen to this podcast and you're going to kind of be like, wow, they're a little bit more goofy usually. And I kind of enjoy what they're talking about.
This is just sad.
And no, it is sad. And part of that is just the fact that it's such a forgettable movie. And I wasn't inspired at all to sit down and kind of take notes. And, you know, like last time when we talked about Bordello of Blood or Sudden Death, where I was like taking notes about stuff because I was kind of enjoying going through the movie.
Yep.
Because, you know, they weren't good, but you still had kind of fun ripping it apart.
Yeah.
I didn't even have fun at the concept of ripping this movie apart. It was just, I wasn't inspired at all. I just kind of wanted it to be done.
Yeah.
But there's one point where she ends up meeting up with Trevor. Like she finds out like some water that they tried to give her, it wasn't poisoned.
Oh, yeah.
It had a message in it.
Yeah.
And the only way to get the message is to drink it.
Message.
And so in a bottle. that was good.
Thank you.
And so she drinks it and she finds out like that Trevor's at this hotel or at his house or I don't know where the fuck
he is. He's a sewer or something like
Everything
that.
Everything looks the goddamn same.
Yeah.
You don't know where anybody is because nothing looks different. And so she runs to where he is, and they end up, you know, she's like, why do I feel this way around you? And she's kind of attacking him, but they're also making love at the same time.
Yeah.
They end up sexing it up.
Yeah.
She wakes up before he does, and he kind of puts a gentle hand on her shoulder. She turns around and strangles him.
Yes.
I thought he was dead.
Me too.
I thought she killed him. I guess she just knocked him out.
Yeah.
And so then she's like exploring around his place, and like this harness, this octopus harness thing latches itself onto her, And she hits a button and suddenly she's in a white room with like lab stuff.
Yeah. It's like another dimension.
Is that what it was? I don't know what the fuck it was.
They
I
never
thought
went
at first that like the library that she was in, I thought maybe that was a hologram and then that harness revealed what everything actually was.
Yeah.
But then like she got in that fight as soon as she came back, she got in that big fight with that other chick, yep. the bodyguard, mm-hmm. who was shooting like a nail gun at her
oh my
or something.
God, yes.
And like she ended up hitting the button again and I didn't know if maybe it was she had gone invisible or if she had gone to that other dimension.
Yeah, it was like when Frodo puts the ring on. It's kind of like this alternate.
Yeah, but I think it actually transported her somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't explain it.
I know.
No.
And again, you think like earlier, like, oh, that's going to come into play later on. Like that's going to, we're going to see that mechanism again and it's going to play some role in the climax.
Never.
Nope, never.
It never comes back.
It was just, somebody had an idea for a cool action set piece.
And that's, it's so funny because it came down on sudden death for being way too Chekhov's gunny.
Yeah.
Where everything they showed came back and it served a purpose because everything that they would tease
yep.
would come back to play a part.
The hand
sometimes,
stamp and, yeah.
Man, you don't have to do that fucking much. But this movie didn't do fucking anything.
It didn't do it, yeah.
It didn't bring anything back.
Everything was a red herring.
Well, and the only thing they did bring back is like the weird flashbacks.
Oh, yeah,
weird memories.
The way that it
ends. And
then
at the very end,
we shots.
We see like the, will I see you again? Uh-huh. And she's just, and then they like walked in two different directions.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
You don't have the experience you just had and then bust a wall down in the fucking city crashing a huge blimp with Pete Postlethwaite on it. And then like, all right, deuces. I'll see you later.
You know what? You just reminded me of another plot point that pissed me off. Okay, so Pete Postlethwaite, he's in this Kleenex box and he's been up there for 400 years cloning everybody and reassigning them into new lives, right?
I think you're about to say what I was thinking too when I was watching
yeah?
this.
Okay, so like finally she confronts him, you know, and she's explaining to the audience and herself like what we already know. And he explains that her DNA was meant to be destroyed. Orin, we find out, Orin Lovechild, back in the day when they were cloning people, had ordered Pete Postlethwaite to
destroy her DNA. Because she was fucking with Trevor or
something.
That's
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they were married, right, in that life?
I don't remember. I just remember like they said something about like you always had a way of getting through to him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
exactly.
You always get through to him. But,
and like he sensed her strength,
but
he says.
But he never reincarnated her. Like, she died for once.
And she even asked the question, why did you wait 400 years to fucking...
But he was like, you got through to him. You always could.
It's like, well, you could have done this fucking 400 years ago. We could have...
How did he know
she... Saved seven generations.
But, like, but he even... And I'm totally... I'm so sorry for stealing your thunder on this.
No.
You totally reminded me because I thought about the same thing. He was like, I always knew you were special. How? How did he know? Where was their history? Why did they not show us this?
Yeah.
Why did they not build this up? It's just a basic of filmmaking, of telling a story, is that you set some of these things up. You give us some clues that will lead to these things later and make us go, ah,
yeah.
That's why this happened.
Nope,
you can't just deus ex machina every little bit of yep. your story so that way you come to a conclusion.
Just because. And he says something like, I decided that the time was right. The time was right. And I'm like, what kind of bullshit is that?
Right.
The time was right? Fuck you, Pete Postlethwaite. My sister's dead and she's a baby now.
Right? Well, that's weird. So, all
you
right.
You see this movie, that would make sense.
So, okay.
But don't see this movie.
I'm going to go ahead and move on.
Yeah, let's do it.
To our usual thing.
Mm-hmm.
What did this movie do right?
The Wilhelm scream.
I caught it, too.
There's the Wilhelm
I
scream.
I didn't catch it.
If the audience doesn't know what the Wilhelm scream is, how do you spell that? W-I-L-H-E-L-M.
Yeah.
Google that on YouTube. The Wilhelm scream is a very famous, you may not know it
You've
by name.
You've heard it, though.
But you have heard it in, 90% of movies, probably?
In fact, there's a YouTube
yes.
video of every time the Wilhelm scream has been
I don't
used.
Know that it's every time, but it's like a 10-minute compilation of, and it started, I guess, what, back in the Indiana Jones movies?
It started way before then.
Was it before that?
Oh, God, yeah. We're talking about movies in the 50s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. But it's a sound effect, and it kind of goes like, ah! It's that scream. I'm not doing it justice. Let's hear your Wilhelm scream, Joe.
I'm not going to
Come
do
on.
It.
Come on.
I don't
want
to do it now. I don't
want
to do it, because now I can't hear it in my head. All I hear is that.
It's like that. Jeff, you got a Wilhelm scream in you? Jeff's checking his fucking Facebook profile. He
He's just like, it's been 57 minutes. I wish you guys would shut the fuck up.
You're lucky I'm sober today.
Ah! Ah! See, that's my Wilhelm scream.
That's pretty good. That's, so it's combine horrible. Mine.
It's like Lando
yours.
Calrissian from Return of the Jedi.
It is a little bit of that. So that shows up, that made me smile.
That's the only good thing that the movie did.
No, again, it's. I like that story, and I feel like there's a better movie somewhere. Mm. Like I said, I want to see the love childs, or at least Trevor. You know, they allude to the fact that he has to raise his own clone and pass on his knowledge, but we only see him in like one flashback scene. Where is this kid?
Yeah.
Like, where is he? You could build a whole movie around the interaction of this kid, this, you know, 10-year-old clone
That's
of his
what
older
it should
self.
Have been.
Exactly.
It
yeah.
should have been a story about these guys raising themselves
yeah.
as kids, but we don't know it yet.
Yes.
And then
the kid has to figure out what's going on.
Right. And he starts to encounter this Aeon Flux character.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, you could have played around with that, and it would have made a lot more of an interesting film. It would have shown that this kid, almost like with Looper, where we find out that this kid is destined to be like looked at as the villain of the society,
the Rainmaker,
but all he wants to do is do good.
Yeah,
that's an interesting story.
Yes,
that's a character that goes through a fucking arc right there.
Then that's a good point. There's no character arcs in here. I mean, I guess Aeon Flux kind of goes through one, but not really. There's nothing
regaining your memory
yeah.
is not a character arc.
No, you're right. You're right.
No.
So. Was this a question about what it did wrong?
What it did do right? What it do right?
And I automatically spun it into what it did wrong.
So yeah, that's what it did wrong.
What do you think?
What do I think about what? What I think it did right?
Yeah, let's do that.
I kind of dug some of the costume design.
Yeah, not bad.
I thought the production design on the movie was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish they would have concentrated more on interiors than just the botanical gardens and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that was just a really odd choice. They spent a lot of fucking time outside.
Yeah, in the broad daylight, a lot of lush foliage around them.
And not fleshing out who the Monikans were and like the other people in the Monikan society. Like, you could build that up. You could tell us the story about this.
I'm still not quite sure. Sorry to interject, but I'm still not quite sure what Frances McDormand, was she really like the leader of the Monikans, or was she a patsy the whole time? Or I mean,
did
like,
she exist, or was she some kind of CPU that where they would
that's
just
true.
Meet?
Like,
who was this person?
Because at one point we figure out that Orn was the one trying to get Trevor killed.
And why such a convoluted
Rube Goldberg
assassination
machine.
Attempt?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, because there had to be no connection to him. That part I kind of understand, but it almost implies that the Frances McDormand character was part of the conspiracy to kill Trevor, but we never know.
But if there's no connection, but then like 45 minutes later, you've got him holding a gun to his brother's head.
Yeah.
So you're
Why
getting
you
to
have
that
to
point
do
eventually.
This?
So what the fuck?
Exactly.
You know, what is the point? So yeah, the production design I liked for the most part, but then, yeah, no, just the execution, the script writing, the adaptation of it, I think was just uninspired. I don't blame the actors. I don't, because I think they did what they could with what they had.
I kind of blame Charlize, but she did what
she could.
I just
think she's not a good actress.
I don't think she is either.
But I don't blame her for that. She's just not very talented.
Yeah.
And I think kind of everybody just kind of did what they could. It reeked of, it's almost, no, Bordello of Blood still worse. But it's kind of along those situations where even a good director with a bad actress could still get something decent out of it.
Yeah.
As long as they recognize the strengths and weaknesses, they would know how to basically use that to serve the film.
Yeah. Look at Keanu Reeves in Matrix.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks he's a great actor, but
he pulls it off.
He played that
role. You hire
role.
Keanu to play a certain role, you know, and you build the movie around him. And, you know, that's kind of what skillful filmmaking is. You kind of build that structure.
Yeah.
All right. So if you were going to remake Aeon Flux today,
mm-hmm.
let's just go with the two mains.
Yeah, I'm doing you know, I mentioned earlier Mila Jovovich, obviously the perfect choice for this role.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no way she was going to do it. She's already done similar roles. She had been co-opted. She probably belonged to another studio at that point. So whatever.
I feel like I know where you're going to go.
Oh no, what? Don't
no, just go on.
Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
No. I always say Mila Kunis, but no, she can't, because if anything, if the what was the Oz movie that just came out this past year?
Oh God, Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yeah. If that's shown us anything, it's that Mila cannot do anything fantastical or fantasy or anything that's not like I thought she was good in. Not Black Dahlia. What's
Black
the
Swan.
Black Swan?
Yeah.
Because she was playing an actual human, like a real girl in that situation.
Yeah.
When she's forced to do something supernatural or like she, I don't know that she has any action chops. You know, can you picture her like
Max
doing
Payne?
These cartwheels?
She was in the movie Max Payne.
Oh, and then what's the Denzel Washington where he's blind? Oh, shit.
The Book of Eli.
I mean, the Book of Eli. I mean, not the Book of Eli. Oh, shit. Hopefully you've all seen the Book of Eli. Whatever.
Dude, it's like a three-year-old movie. Fuck them if they haven't seen it.
That's a good movie, by the way.
I love you, though. But fuck you if you haven't seen it.
She was good in that role. But yeah, she couldn't have done this. But you know who could have?
Who could have?
Natalie Portman.
Yeah? You'd like to see that, Natalie Portman?
Well, here's the thing. I feel like... We just barely scratched the surface of what Natalie Portman could do in the Star Wars movies.
Uh-huh.
As far as like some, because where else has she been able to do? I mean, not since Leon the Professional has she even held a gun in a movie, right?
Thor.
Well, the new one?
She's in the Thor movies.
Did she kick ass in the new one?
I wouldn't say she kicked ass in either one.
Does she suck ass in the new one?
I just don't. I'm not a big Thor fan.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing it on Thursday.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to talk about that
one. Oh, shit. All right. Yeah. There you go. Next week's episode.
Okay.
But yeah, so Natalie Portman, she kind of looks the part. At least she's got like 50 pounds on Charlize Theron, uh-huh. At least.
So Natalie Portman.
I think so. She can kind of play dark and brooding. And you know, we've seen her just emote and cry. Like, I'm picturing her from like V from Vendetta. You know, picture the scene in this movie when Charlize Theron's sister gets killed. She's standing there motionless, not a tear. Like, you know, her lip is quivering, but that's about it.
It looked like they got somebody on set to just spray her.
Spritz her down.
Spritz her to make it look like she's been crying.
In fact, I think I was reading through some of the inconsistencies.
Uh-huh.
I think the tear changes cheeks between shots. So it's obviously not even her real tears.
Oh, God.
But Natalie Portman would have been, you know, just sobbing and snot coming out of her nose.
Uh-huh.
That's the kind of emotion that this... that the remake needs. So I'm going to go Natalie Portman.
Okay, and who would have been Trevor Goodchild?
I got a couple of options here, or do I? No, I just have the one. Well, these are kind of interchangeable. I'd like to see them both. So I've got the Trevor and the Oren characters. Oren's the brother, the love child characters.
the love children.
I'd like to see... I kind of feel like I want a bit of an unknown, but obviously we need to cast somebody that we know. But somebody who's a little more of a tabula rasa.
Uh-huh.
How about Sawyer from Lost?
Ooh,
I like
he's
that.
He's a horrible film actor, though.
Is he a bad film actor?
Yeah, he's a really bad film actor.
What have we seen him in film?
He did that movie, Battle of the Century, where he was the coach for the dance team.
Is he not good? Can he not play anything
but
Sawyer?
He was also in the very beginning of Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible
Ghost
3.
Protocol.
I know, and I remember seeing that and being like, oh, I would like to see more of what he can do outside of that Sawyer role.
Yeah.
But no.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. That's interesting. That's an interesting choice.
Well, then let's go with Ryan Reynolds. He's my other choice. And he could either play the villain, you know, the brother, the Oren Goodchild part, or I'd like to see him in the Trevor part.
Oh, that's cool.
I like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. I like him, too, for the most part. I think he's an all right actor.
He's fine. He just ends up in shitty movies.
Yes.
Like R.I.P.D. and Green Lantern.
All right. So my choice for Aeon Flux, if I were to remake it, is Anne Hathaway.
Yes. Oh, my God. For the same reasons with Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
The emoting
and
the look.
I think that she's got the acting chops. She's also got the
acrobatics.
She's got the acrobatics, but she's also got the build.
Yeah.
She's got that build.
She's kind of spindly and gangly. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And she was Catwoman, so we know.
We know she could at least do that.
She can do some cartwheels.
She could wear latex.
Yeah.
I'd probably go
with
Anne Hathaway for that.
Sorry, Natalie Portman.
It's all right. We're making two different versions of the film. We could do whatever.
All right.
And I think for the good children, well, because they've got to have kind of a brotherly thing going on, but they also have to be kind of attractive.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of them has to be the love interest for Aeon Flux.
Of course.
So I'm thinking the dude from Parks and Rec. For the dude that he was in Zero Dark Thirty.
Rob Lowe.
No,
oh!
He was in Zero Dark 30.
Yeah.
He's also in Parks and Rec.
Not the comedic
guy. I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember.
I'll look it up.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's
about.
A badass.
Yeah. So I was thinking about him, but then also like as the brother, Jason Sudeikis.
That'd be great.
Just to see if there's a little bit of acting chop, but they also look like they could be related to each other.
Yeah, no, that's right, they do.
So that would be my choice for that.
I like that. And that could be kind of like a Michael Keaton, like, oh, they've only done comedy, except for Zero Dark Thirty. That guy had a pretty dark role.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be a chance for them to do some heavy drama.
Just to branch out a little bit and do something a little different.
I like that. Let's go with your cast this week.
Okay. That sounds
mine
good.
Sucks.
What would your cast be? If you've got some kind of a fantasy cast for Aeon Flux, you could tell us about it on our Facebook page, facebook.com. Just look up The Editing Bay and let us know what you think. If you have any suggestions for a movie for, well, maybe not next week. I think next week we might talk about Thor, what I remember of it, since I slept through two-thirds of the movie.
No fair. You're going to have to see that again. I'm sorry, Joe.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to. And also, you know, your thoughts of this movie in general. Mm-hmm. I know I was kind of polling some of my Facebook friends, and I had one friend that was like, oh, I really loved that movie.
I want to talk to that friend.
I almost asked her to come up tonight.
Oh, that would have been great.
Talk to us about this, but she like lives in Arlington, and it's hard for her to make the trip.
You're going
to
have to defend your opinions via Facebook posts.
Yes, just do Facebook posts. Joel and I, we read them all. We respond to you guys. And if you have any ideas for stuff that you'd like us to talk about in the future, any new movies,
we'll ignore those as well.
We'll ignore
and do
those.
Whatever we want to do.
We've done a couple. We've actually, we just want to make sure that they're on Netflix because we want you guys to be able to watch them with us. And I know there's some people that don't even have Netflix accounts, but I think for the most part, it's pretty safe to say that people would have a Netflix.
We got
to
be careful though, because we're pinning ourselves into a corner. There are a ton of bad movies that are not on Netflix that are on my little list here. That Jurassic Park 3 isn't on Netflix.
Jurassic Park 3 isn't.
And I want to do that.
And we'll have to start throwing down on some DVDs too.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, if you've got something in your Netflix queue and it's kind of an interesting, maybe bad film, let us know about it. And we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. Thank you, Jeff Earnshaw, for producing us. And
did you get your sex ed test done while we were doing the episode? Big thumbs up from Jeff over there. Very nice.
And thank you, Joel, for taking the time.
As always, thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. We have been the Editing Bay. My name's Joe.
I am Joel.
And we'll catch you later.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
That's fucking gold.